We are recording it, so we got about 90 minutes if that, thank you, Deb.
Okay.
Okay, so we need, first off, we need to approve the last year's board meeting that we had at Dave's house, the minutes from that. Did everybody get a copy of that?
Keith sent those out the other day.
And you all have a copy of the agenda?
I didn't bring that through it, but that's okay. I don't have it with me.
Okay, just in case.
We're a little technically behind up here, we have no internet.
Well, we are too. I had a copy of this at home, bring it up, and we do not have internet.
I'm technically behind at home too, so. If you have an extra, Jack, I'll take one.
Oh, sure, I printed up just in case at home, and if we don't have enough, then this is,
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting.
A motion by Steve Myers to approve the previous year's board meeting.
As written by Keith Park from, what was the date on that meeting? August, September? What was it?
August 24, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, so we got that. So the next thing should be the treasurer's report. Am I correct? Yes.
Yep, something like that.
We are solvent. The copies of it sent it out electronically last night.
Oh.
Numbers on the middle of the page there where it says line item number. We'll start with number one towards the bottom, much like we do at the annual meeting. Current checking account balance is $17,556. If you're looking down that center thing, number one and number 11. Going up to the top, where number two is, as you work your way up the top of the page there, we're under receipts for income. Dues were $1,400 from 63 people. We were at 54 last year. But total deposits were $4,458 as broken down in that upper column there. Scrolling down, disbursements, number four. They're all listed there as far as what we spent our money on. Total of disbursements is line number five, $1,900. So we brought in more than we spent. Working our way down, we get to the line number, section six, those donations that were made directly to the vendor by people on the lake. We're feeding back here somewhere, I'm not sure. You guys still there?
Yep.
Okay. Direct deposits that were made by folks on the lake, specifically Carlos Alden, Jim and Joyce Schultz, as well as Bill Zito, for the internet, came to $856. So we owe those folks a thank you because considerable amounts of donations that we don't have to pay for. Mm-hmm. So with that being meant, if we were to have paid for everything out of our own pockets, we would have spent $2,700 of our $4,000 that we brought in. We only spent $1,900. Of course, people made donations on their own. Line number 9 and 10 reflect what we would have deposited into our checking account based upon whether we had donations paid directly or not directly. And that brings us back down to line number 11 where we actually have a $17,000 balance on hand. So if you take all the stuff on the top, you add it together, subtract this accordingly, and you make your numbers work out, which you...
No, that $17,000 has nothing to do with the money that's in the milfoil fund and prom point.
No, okay. We'll get to that in
okay.
a second.
Thank you.
Going down the page even further there, we get to line number 12, that $856 that we talked about up above where people made donations directly has to show up somewhere, so it shows up down at the bottom there because that makes line 11 our total year-end balance all out, but we have to keep track of that. So at the end of the day, if we did not have donations made by anybody else, we'd only have $16,000 in the bank, but since we didn't pay that $856 directly, we have the $17,000. So that makes the whole bottom page all work out nice and neatly. And then we get down to the very bottom there, which is number 15, which is what Jack was just asking about. with the money that is in the Crown Point Milfoil Fund balance. We currently have $34,425. We made a whopping $24 in interest on that over the last year. Thank you to the bank. Thank you to the world for supporting us with lots of interest. But the fact that we have $34,000 that we can spend on whatever we want, use it for leverage money, pretty good. And a 17 on top of that, of course, makes us solvent in all kinds of ways. So, anybody have any questions on the budget or the year-end statement as presented?
Just so I understand your spreadsheet.
Do you have any numbers on current membership?
I do. They will be shared in a minute.
Just so I understand, last year finished at 15,005, and this year at 16,7 or 17.
17,556. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So we added to our bank account $2,551 from line 9 there that receipts higher than or lower with.
Got it.
Okay. So on the last. Since 16, which is the last line shown on there, we've upped $7,000.
Oh.
Thank you, Zach, for doing a $700 IP donation. Need a motion to approve the and post this to the web, as well as send out to the membership as a email.
I make a motion to do all that.
So,
all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. It's Chris, second. I'm
all right, so that's that. This year's budget, give me a second, or this year's income. See, where did that bunch of paper? That's paperwork from that. I just printed that this morning. That looks like that page right there, which I have a single copy in small form for Jack. Where did it go? There it is. I know you got good eyes. You can share that around. Since there is some, I can't say that it's personal information, but it's not necessarily everybody's business as to who sent what check in. But as we're talking about checks, or as this year's monies, wow. We currently have 44 folks who have sent in their checks. And as we're talking about sending checks in, we as a group can't conduct business today because we have three people that board officers that have not paid their dues yet. Zach, Dave, and Steve. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah. Checkbook, I meant to grab it.
We do need to make sure that that gets paid so that we can continue our business here. But we have 44 folks that have are members as of the moment.
Do we take cash?
We do. We have one business, which is Chris, and we have six associates that have paid their dues. Also on that same note, we have brought in a total this year of $2,085 that breaks down to $1,060 in dues and $995 in donations.
So are you collecting this here?
I will collect it.
This is Dorfman and Cerny.
Okay. Is Adine going to do a sponsorship?
She said she was.
Okay, so I'll take care of. We'll figure that out as we go.
I can mention something to her. She does that.
I sent you an email.
Business.
I sent you an email last night about 2 o'clock, I didn't suspect you'd get, but
yeah,
only because it was taken.
I'll get that when I get home.
Yeah. Just as an FYI, we are shorter on dues and actual donations associated with dues this year compared to where we were last year. More people just sent a check for $25 and said that's it. In the past, usually we get a lot of people sending checks for 25 or 30, 35, 50, and, you know, the extra money is obviously a donation. So, not quite as profitable this year.
The only thing is...
I'm not saying profitable, but...
Well, the only thing we have is probably a lot of people are trying to hang on to their extra money, not
sure.
Knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they may...
Yeah.
They may donate in the future if this thing doesn't go much farther.
Right.
I'm hoping that's the case.
So, but
does this take into account that they're not sending any picnic money, or is that?
Well, there is no picnic, so there's no picnic money sent in,
like
and so that, and in the past, the picnic has kind of zeroed out what we expend on the picnic versus what we bring in as far as expenditure for the picnic.
Right. Okay.
So that's kind of a wash in some respects. So. Just as where we are, we're down count this year. Like I say, we're at 44, so we do need to do a reminder letter. We'll do that in the fall. There is one person that's not accounted on here, according to Keith, conversation this morning. So we have 45 as opposed to 44.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, plus the two and then.
Plus two or three. Yeah.
Before you leave, I'm going to grab my checkbook.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you feel that this, the way we're doing it now, with a self-stamped address envelope, sending everything out and going to Keith, and Keith getting everything, is this?
Is that the way to proceed?
From our end, it seems to work good, but Keith and everybody really gets the hard work.
Are we seeing an increase? I mean, obviously last year, this year, so far not, but are we seeing an increase by doing it that way?
I see a lot less work from my side of things, just sitting at the picnic and going 25, you know, when you're trying to check.
Got it. Yeah.
It is significantly simpler from that standpoint.
Let's do that.
Well, man. Worth the, you know.
I
the,
like easy.
Yeah. Is it a pain in the ass when it comes to mailing a newsletter and making sure you get all the envelopes stamped and with the return address on there and having the supplies in hand? Yeah, but for one day of pain in the ass, it's a whole lot easier than...
In the long run.
Right. It's well worth continuing what we're doing.
Keith, are you okay to continue to do that?
Keith?
Chris?
I'm here. I don't know where Keith went.
I talked to Keith. He doesn't mind getting envelopes.
Okay,
great. So,
from that standpoint.
Do we need to try and call him back? Or is he called in?
He's called in through Chris, or Chris called him through his, joining phone there. While we're on the topic,
he dropped that. I'll get him back.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Backing up just a little bit, actually moving forward, we need to approve expenditures for this coming year for the service organizations. We made a significant donation to Chilson last year at the request of membership. My take on that is that should have only been a one-year thing. So I would make the motion that we go back to making donations to our service organizations as they were in the past, which is $200 to Chilson, $100 to Thai Emergency, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me, I don't have my sheet.
100, 200, yeah. You got it right.
100, 250.
And then
to timer.
Okay, the
DFL.
Yep. 50, no, sir. No, 100.
Yeah, Chilson was.
Note to reserve Chilson. Oh, that's community center. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I did read it somewhere.
200 to 150, yes.
Chilson was a one time deal for their new truck at $500.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. And then, did I hear you correctly, Rolf, earlier say that some of their donations this year have not happened yet?
No. None of the donations have been made this year. No, donations from membership to us.
Membership. So,
yes.
Okay. So we think that's lower, so it's appropriate to go down.
Yes. Yeah. So revert back to the plan or what we had been doing in the past, which is 200 to 150.
Motion to send 200 to Chilson, 100 to Ty, and 50 to Phelps.
Okay.
50 to where?
A.E. Phelps Rescue.
Oh, right. Okay, one. Phelps. I was thinking Steve when I heard Phelps. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I second that.
So that takes care of that piece while we're on treasures.
Okay, there it is.
Let's see here. Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask a question here?
You can ask all the questions you want.
Are we getting in?
I'm not sure if I heard everything when I was trying to catch in with Keith again, but are we going back to the donation level that we were at 2 years ago?
Correct.
Cool. Did we make a motion on that, or...
Correct.
Just did.
Okay.
You want to second it?
We're opening up the speed then. Okay.
Steve seconded
it. I seconded
it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I'll stay home next time. I can get listed at home by then.
I never had allergies before. Now they think that's what it is, and it feels like I've been swimming. Both ears, and then it'll clear up, and then it'll plug back up. Have you got allergies?
I don't, but my one son does, and a bunch of friends do, and
yeah, I got
it.
And, you know,
the month of May, it feels like I'm carrying the refrigerator on my back the whole month, so it's horrible.
I've got one more doctor to see, and then, you know, because it feels like if I keep doing this, although my other doctor said it buys me time to give my wife the right answer.
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, we have the floor for banking or for treasurer's report.
We need to have a vote on that.
The motion. We've been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
We also need to do a motion to continue using Community Bank, located in Ticonderoga, as our bank of record, to continue to have my name as treasurer be the primary contact with the bank, to allow officers Jack, Keith, and Chris to be secondary or backups on contacts with the bank, and to continue using my home address of 358 Electric Avenue as the contact address. So I have a copy of a motion that we need to sign and deliver to the bank. There's two copies, so if you'd sign them both, that way I can scan one and put it up on our web as a private file and deliver one to the bank and we can go from there.
I'd like to make a verbal motion to approve it.
Okay.
And second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Pass now, the motion around so that we can put our scribble our signatures on the appropriate line that's there.
Now, you're still treasurer for how long?
For the end. Oh, thank you for mentioning that.
For lifetime?
For one more year.
Okay.
As long as I don't get pissed off and said to bail.
For lifetime?
No, yeah, right.
I get the motion. Aye. Sorry, Ralph.
The elections of officers that was done through the mail.
That piece we missed.
I'm sorry. Okay, that's...
Zach just...
Reminded us?
Reminded me that he's going to get another 10 years worth of pain and torture.
We'll finish this and then we'll do the make sure that everybody was reelected as they're supposed to be.
Yes, yes, because that's on the... Chris asked the question, and he asked me about this year's finances, and that's on this year's finances page, but I didn't read it. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Chris and Keith, did Keith get back in?
I'm back.
Okay.
Keith.
I will send the motion for the bank to you, and if you just... Scribble your signature on a page and take a picture of it, and I'll file three pages separately with the bank. So that way we have all signatures included. All right? Yeah, that's true. All right, so that takes care of that. Back to Zach's question of officers and how long I'm treasurer for. We all got approved for being here. I can't really say how many people replied to our, sent back their letters, but there were a number of people that did not respond in any way, shape, or form as far as telling us anything, and that was a number of six. There was nobody against, there was nobody abstained, and nobody wrote anything in, but we did get 24 votes from individual people that said they elected the slate of officers as presented.
So that's just about half of...
Half of those who are members, but we have, like I say, 44 total members, six associates, one business, so roughly 50 people. So, which is comparable to what we... Probably better than what we might have at an annual meeting, considering the number of people that are there. So...
The thing I see that would bring up that would be very difficult if we continue this way is if somebody wrote in a name, Keith would have to email and
everybody again,
you know, another candidate. That I thought about that when I read it, and I go, wow, that would, if somebody writes a name in, but I guess we'll worry about that down the road.
So if I were... If I remember correctly from that email, it's everything's the same, correct? For this year?
Yes.
Officers, board members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't have in front of me when the three board members' terms expire, but it is on the website. And
I was just going to ask. I can go look at it. I just want to. That's fine.
Yeah, I think I'm two more years.
I've got July 6, 2019. Zach Dorfman, 3 years. So that would mean you have 2 years left, right?
22.
Yeah.
Dave Cerny has 1 year, so that means you just got reelected.
For another three.
And current board member, Steve Myers, his term ends. Well, he just got reelected too.
No, he's vice president. Chris took his position.
Oh, okay. Well,
so Chris may have, I don't know, we'll have to take a look at the website.
I was up this year because I finished out last year for 1 year, and then I should be up again this year.
Something like that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, something to that effect.
I know it's on the website. Can we just clarify that and send it out to all of us so we just make sure we're all on the same page? How many years everybody has on their thing?
Yeah, it's correct on the website.
It is.
Yes, go to the officers tab or contact us tab, and there's a section for officers up there.
Got it.
So that gets updated every time, every year after this meeting,
as far as whose officers and what their terms of service are and any changes that have been made to president.
According to the website, I'm up this year, and then Zach and Dave are, Zach is up next year, and Dave is up in 22.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Zach is next year, okay, 2021. And Chris, okay.
So essentially the re-election is the officers plus me, right?
Yes, I think that's the way that you portrayed that correctly.
Okay, let's see.
I'm going to grab the floor. Sorry. One more item here. While we're talking about all the communications that went on between the membership, we owe Steve Phelps a personal thank you for taking care of that newsletter being sequestered out in Phoenix or where, and all the.
Will he allow us to come to his door?
Well, that's part of the reason we're not at my house. See, they're like, they're really afraid, and they're so that's fine.
I drove by and last night he was on his deck and I said, "Welcome back." I stood on my boat and waved to him.
Yeah.
And I sent him an email just the other day saying, when you're back, if you need anything, don't hesitate to contact me or any board member or whatever.
Yeah, my wife's been taking care of us.
Just a quick thank you to him. He went over and above, with all the scribble notes that we send him, and he picks out throughout the year and making sure that all gets done and put together. And we do need to ask him if he would be willing as a regular member to do it again next year, because we do need to communicate with our membership, so...
He actually enjoys...
If it's not him, then one of us has to step up to the plate to do it.
And I can't even spell Facebook.
It's not on Facebook. It's.
I know he puts a lot.
I can't spell newsletter, let alone.
So if you, Dave, said if you happen to see Steve and yell at him, just say we thank him for his work, and individually we may just end up stopping in or waving or something. This is, as I found, it's very difficult.
He'll do the 6-foot thing.
To go around the lake. The other day we're in the lake and yelling to the Clarks and yelling to you and Charlie and everybody. It's very difficult and it's very
difficult. And everybody's being very aware cautious. Of it and cautious and everything about it.
So I guess the bottom line is nobody's trying to snub anybody.
Yeah, send them a quick email and say thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Next.
I can send them a thank you now, too.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing a thank you note to all our donors and sponsors. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No.
Not all donors.
Well, I was not donors. I mean, sponsors and the donors that need to be.
I usually do the sponsors as a quick note to say thank you for last year.
All right.
No, we have one person that made a significant donation of $500. We will send them a thank you letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will. I'll make sure that goes out.
Yeah, anything over $100, I figure, is well worth another 55-cent stamp to say thank you.
Okay.
That was nice.
Anything else?
I think I'm done.
Thanks, Keith.
Okay. The the checks for the donations to Chilson and Ty EMS, if you get them out, I'll take care of that. And then A.E. Phelps, unless you see him, especially with this COVID thing, it's probably better. I will nose around and talk to these Chilson and everything. It may be easier just to send it to them and try to interact.
We'd like to be able to have a photo op with it, but we understand under today's circumstances.
If anything, we could always use last year's photo. Chief LaRocque is still chief.
Nope.
He's not?
Nope. As of last night, he resigned.
Really?
Or as of last month, he resigned. That's the latest email from Steve Phelps last night.
Okay. So I don't get the email. I wonder, I'll have to...
So... They're appointing a new chief sometime this month.
Oh, so I can't use that picture.
Nope.
Then I'll find out if Mr. Wood is still in charge at the EMS. He's on the Thai board. If he is, we'll just use his picture and get that as of. So, okay. Wow.
Yep.
So sounds all beautiful, right. But so I don't want to know.
Chilson has had, for the last 40 years, a ongoing rotating door as far as who's chief. There is a lot of politics in small-town USA.
A lot of family.
Firehouses.
Yep.
There's local always been up on Chilson Hill. Mm-hmm. Back when I lived here, there was always a lot of nonsense going on up there.
Yep. A lot of family.
It isn't just Chilson.
It's everywhere.
Queensbury is full of it.
Oh, yeah. My son was a Lake George fireman from 14 to... in his early 30s, and then he said, "I can't take this anymore."
He quit. It's a lot of family, and sometimes you don't know that the guy you're talking to is a cousin, and then all that stuff gets back. So it's a tough, and especially if you try to do it and
it's
run
a
it right.
Job.
It is a full-time job.
It is. You get people that get upset, and most of you, we've all been in businesses, and you get an employee that's disgruntled. And he starts making everybody else disgruntled, and just it makes for a poor morale. So, okay. Is there that form 990 that's been filed? We don't have to do that again.
That will be filed as soon as I get whatever I need done for that.
Okay.
That's a tax return thing, right?
Yes.
Has that been delayed, or because of...
Nope. There is no interaction other than putting in the fact that you are still in business and you haven't whatever, and you said... There is two ways to file it. One, you go to the IRS site and you do your own thing, or you wait for somebody to send you their little nasty notice because they're watching the 990 forms, and they go, "Oh, for $25 or $50, we'll file the thing for you." And it's like, "Oh, wait a minute. It takes 3 keystrokes there, and it takes 5 over here."
Yes.
But...
It takes 5 to do it, you 3 to do it myself.
It has not been done. It is a end of the year, and they give you 6 months or something like that. And
well, especially now, you're probably got an extra 6 months.
I don't know.
Because your personal taxes aren't due until
next week, or this week.
15th.
We did table last year a discussion to raise the dues, and I imagine we'll probably just table that again.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. Yeah, we made money last year. We should just keep it same.
Just leave it alone and see where we're at.
Unless there's some major expenditure that we don't know about.
I know. I would find it very difficult this year if we did decide to raise and go out and tell people. And, you know, with finances is very, very tough right now.
That's so a full set of minutes that he's reading off of from last year's. I got basically the same thing.
Okay.
That's the...
Now,
my notes from
I'm just going down just through the list and making sure I touch base on everything. The next one is the IP grant that Zach did a great job getting. That has to be done annually, correct?
Annually, yep.
And will you talk to Joe again and take care of that? Or?
I did it primarily through Donna. I'll pull all the paperwork together again. I'll do that.
Okay.
I don't remember the timing, but I'll look it up.
All right, because I know...
I think in the fall, you had to finish it up by the fall.
And on that note, I think I emailed everybody, but I'm not sure, that I saw Joe, the manager of IP, in church not long after that. Mm-hmm. Not only personally thanked him, also I knew he worked at IP, but I didn't know he was the manager because his son and my son played hockey together. So, and he's always an usher in church, so I had the opportunity to really... thank him. Hopefully, he's known me for years, so the impression wouldn't be changed, I wouldn't think. But, it's just nice to see him and thank him for that money because it does help, especially defray some of the costs for just the testing of the lake.
I worked for him.
You did work for him?
25 years ago.
He's a very quiet individual.
He's a great guy.
How long did you live up here?
3 years.
And I know my middle boy is very good friends with his daughter, and they still, even after college, still are in contact. So again, it just helps. So the stamps. Do we need to continue the self-addressed stamps, do we need to keep annually saying this is what we're going to do and get the money? That shouldn't be too much of a...
I guess if we're going to continue with the newsletter as we are, that we'll just say, yeah, let's continue with the newsletter being stamped. And I usually order the envelopes in 300 or 400 quantity off eBay when somebody's got a set special on them. And the little stickers, the same thing, because you can't go to the local store and buy the little fold-over stickers and stamps. You don't have much choice where you get them from. So.
Okay.
Printing this year, we got a pretty good deal on it. I priced it from... I priced it from Staples, and I priced it from the UPS store, and the UPS store, they had a promo code, and by the time I got done, it was like $30 cheaper than it was last year. Printed that day, picked up, let it go.
The next I have, we discussed the information, of a major discussion at that time, about what the property owners and what information we were going to allow on the web as of, you know, Steve Myers and your wife and your kids and where you live. And at that time, we decided that that was really too much information. If somebody really wanted it, there are other places to go to get it. And we did not, I say we, the board didn't want us to become, I guess, liable for putting any of that information out, or somebody is upset about it. Is that still the same consideration?
I would think that would. We want to protect the privacy of our members as best we can. We don't want to be the conduit to get all that information out. And if I go and say, hey, Ralph, I need to contact Jack because a tree fell across this camp, I would assume Ralph would say, I got that information, I'll email him. And then do it that way, so you know we don't go giving.
Oh,
that
she did bring the cookies out.
Just
to update all of you besides Ralph, and Ralph, I want you to tell us your thoughts, because we did get I got an email from one of the Lake members that this person tried to get information and had a hard time, and I directed her to Ralph, so that he could give her the information she wanted. And if I remember the email correctly, the first email was that she couldn't get the information. She seemed very upset, but after talking to Rolf and finding out how it worked, she seemed to calm down. Does that all fit? And she should be happy with us now, more or less?
She wanted the property owner's map. After the newsletter, it said that the property owner's map is on the website. Went to the website. She couldn't download the one that has the names on it. We have the one up there with names blocked out. And it gives you a location or an option to put in a password and a username. Now, the password and username is not shared with anybody other than my son and myself, because it's our private file cabinet to keep information in that is truly private. You're like, what's the secret code? I said, no secret code. I'll send you a copy of the map with the names on it, because I know who you are. You're a dues paying member. Well, how about can we get that information? You know, we in the past have put out a news or a whatchamacallit, like a phone book kind of deal with names of people and contact information. Can we do that again? I said, no, we made the decision that we're not going to. Well, can we
voted on it last year, didn't we?
Yeah. She goes, can we do like we do at our church, where some people opt in and some people opt out? I said, you can, but I'm not going to do the responsibility of it. I said, it takes somebody that, A, collects the information, who wants in, who wants out. If you want out, make sure that people don't get your information. If you want in, making sure that those people that get it. I said, our database will support it, but I'm not doing the work. If somebody wants to do that and take the hours and time to make it happen, fine. But I explained it to her, and she was on the road at the time, and she was trying to. So when she got to where she could read what was going on, she realized it's a lot of work and somebody has to do the work. And if it's not her, then I guess it's going to be the way that it is. And that comes down to a lot of things. And lots of people make suggestions. Well, you should. And they're not part of the solution. So my solution is, if I'm doing it, I'm going to do it my way. And
you want this son? Come on here. Come over here and help me.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say I was going to do it.
Yeah. So... At this point, it's no distribution, and That's the way it is.
What type of information was she trying to...
Just phone numbers.
Phone numbers. Just phone numbers?
Yeah, just phone numbers. Okay. A phone number or an address or an email address, you know. It's your next-door neighbor. If you want your next-door neighbor's phone number, go get it.
Go ask everybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, in older times when there were, people were more... Whatever, you know.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
So the only thing is I don't want to be, you know... A tree fell across somebody's property up here, and I get a phone call from the next door neighbor. Hey, can you give me so and so's phone number? And now I'm going, well, do I give you the phone number or don't give you the phone number? Because they're not paid members. Don't call me. I got other things to do. I'm not the Ma Bell phone operator. Oh yeah, that's your phone number, so and so, or the contact. So there's a delicate line that we got to walk here as far as sharing and not sharing. So.
Okay.
But, yeah. So at the moment, we're not going to print a list.
Ralph, can you share everybody's Wi-Fi password too while you're at it?
Sure. I'll come see you for your son to get it.
My son's got everybody on our point, the password. So he just walks right up to him. You mind sharing your Wi-Fi password? No problem.
Next on the list is invasive news. As of last year, Rolf mentioned that Glenn Sullivan was talking about a new herbicide. I didn't get involved in that as of yet. I don't know if anybody else has because kind of the bottom line is this. Chris Hyde would remember Rolf and I, we're about the only ones left, I think. We spent years working against milfoil. And we were real close at one point, we thought, of eradicating it or getting it into a manageable level, and then the APA slammed the door. Well, I think I can speak for the three of us anyways. We kind of, that road until the state finally decides they want to do something is a long and hard road. And personally, I'm really not willing to go down it. We've picked, we've had divers, we've matted, we've done a lot of different things with the lake, and this is what we got. So, with that said, nothing that I know of, you know, it may be a great herbicide, but I would think that, first off, it would be up to the APA to approve it and then move forward. The last thing, that to bring everybody up to speed, Renovate that was going to be used... The last time is supposed to be targeted mainly for milfoil, but it does stress the other plants. Renovate is approved in the state of New York. However, it is not approved in the APA, so therefore it doesn't exist. That's the fight you're fighting. And so, you know, just to bring you up to speed on that particular herbicide, like I said, nothing's been done there.
I was asked the other day, you might know more about it. I guess Lake George is considering some kind of a milfoil or invasive herbicide treatment, possibly. I was asked the other day, there was an article in some newspaper. I know nothing more about it.
I haven't heard anything about that. I keep up on Lake George because we vote on Lake George every year, too. So.
But the new herbicide that I reference is, if somebody wants to do some more digging on it, it was approved for use in New York State last year. A little less baggage than Renovate, but beyond that, I really couldn't tell you much about it.
What's the name of it?
I have no idea off the top of my head. I'd have to dig through some of my... I sent you a bunch of emails last year about it, so dig through your old emails.
Yeah, my daughter updated my stuff. I lost a lot of stuff.
So.
Yeah, that's like my boy is rearranging my toolbox, and now I can't find anything. But anyway.
Yep. So has anybody been out on the lake to look at the milfoil this year?
I've been out quite a bit, and I've gone over some of the milfoil. This is a personal opinion. Qualitatively, it appears that it is not. It is down this year, actually, is what it appears to me.
I would vastly agree with that. I went out over the large center poster child patch yesterday, and it's a good 3 to 4 feet below the surface and considerably sparser than in past.
Yeah, as well as the one by the boat launch. It's still pretty heavy down there, but it's less than what it's been in the past years. My point... Where I'm at, prior to me being here, I heard was pretty bad. I usually do a couple times diving with mask and snorkel and pick at the root, and it's
between
exceptionally minimal.
Between your place and Leland Luce's, we put a good, probably 3,000, 4,000 square feet of mat down there.
Yeah.
And it was dense.
That's fishing.
Dense.
That spot's a pretty good spot.
It was awesome.
And it's steep there. Yeah. Real steep.
Yeah.
I was over by Schultz's. It's usually mixed in pretty good there and not much there.
Why would it be?
Some years the bugs win, and some years the milfoil wins, is the only answer that I can surmise.
Luck of the draw this year.
Well,
and there's also, you know, a lot of other factors, bolt propagation, you know, all that good stuff.
One of the bugs overwinters along the shore. So if you have a bumper crop of fish, and the fish get the bugs, and the movement from milfoil to shore, you lose bugs. If it's a cooler than or warmer than normal winter, the bugs may not freeze as they burrow into the shoreline material. So this past winter was not overly cold, not overly aggressive as far as, you know, the temperatures, so the bugs may have survived more. But short of doing an extensive study on bugs and...
And I know we've discussed, a few of us have discussed this before, and, you know, until the state finally wants to do something, nothing's going to happen. It's a dog and pony show, is what it really is. They get in the press and they tell everybody all these great things they're doing, especially now that they're talking about putting up a barrier at these different lakes to stop the invasives. Well, you know, well, everybody, the general public reads it and think, oh, isn't that great, when the people that really know what's going on realize it's not just the boats and the trailers. I had a guy come over here the other day in his kayak who was telling me he just got off the Hudson River. And the Hudson River is filled with milfoil. How long his boat was out of the water, I have no idea. I doubt very much he washed it, but he was looking at the property and this and that. So that's a whole other issue. So there we go with that.
You come up through Scroon Lake and there's a boat wash station.
No one uses it.
It's a boat wash. What do you consider a boat? Where do invasives hide? And it's not the milfoil. The milfoil is easy. You can see it.
Yes.
It's got to be at least that big before, you know, a couple, 3 inches before it's viable. It's not like a spiny water flea that if you don't know it's there, or a quagga mussel or any of the other invasives that are out there. And on that topic, not milfoil, but terrestrial invasives are working their way down 74. You got garlic mustard, and
yes,
you got
purple
loofstrife. Hogweed is not in the area yet, but if you see along quarter of the road here, those purple flowers that come up in the next couple weeks, they're all invasives, and one seed or one flower puts out, you know, some 10,000 seeds. It'll be down 74. If you see it, pull it. Okay? Same thing with garlic mustard. If you don't know what it looks like, it looks a little like Queen Anne's lace. Right now it's in flower, but if you see it as you're walking, pull it. If you don't prevent it from spreading on our own, if we don't own invasives, we as individuals, if we don't own them, they will take over.
There's two invasives that I've read about. It's the hogweed and the parsnip, parsley,
poisonous
yellow
parsnip.
Parsley.
Yep, parsnip.
Both of those, do you want to wear gloves? The
gloves and arm.
One of them has an acid or something in the sap. I think it's the parsley that... It's reacted by the sun. My son actually got it, and it hurts. So
yeah, Hawkins bad too.
You want to be careful with those two that I know of.
Yeah, be vigilant. There is a invasive plant identification thing coming up in the next couple of weeks for both terrestrials and aquatics if you want to.
Okay. So next thing we got on here is the discussion with DEC regarding the boat launch and the campground. I have sent a letter to Bob Stegman. That's why I asked
you. Did you skip what?
I'm sorry, did I skip something?
I don't know, I'm looking here. Maybe
where are you?
Website?
Okay, website. I'm sorry, I did skip. Distribute, website, updates, tractor trailer, contact Keith. Yeah, winter costs or anything.
Right now, everything is covered.
Okay.
Bill Zito needs to thank you. And same thing with Schultz's. They're paying for the internet. We're piggybacking on what they got going. I am looking at and going to probably see if Todd and Tanya will once again host a camera down by them. As we get into the Causeway reconstruction, it would be kind of cool to do a photographic, you know, assessment or, you know, of the reconstruction process of the Causeway. They're the closest ones with internet. We had some serious technical difficulties. It worked. But in hindsight, we were doing some things that really didn't work real well. So we figured a lot out with fiber optic cable and how to get internet distances up. So I'm going to try and work with them and see if we can get a camera back down there again. So,
bringing up the Causeway, Keith, you're still in touch with, was it Mr. Fisher?
Well, there's a new project leader now.
Okay.
And he's taken over the project. Apparently the design that they had did not get approved. They had farmed it out to a contractor who's supposed to put a bid together by August of this year. If it's approved, then it's going to have a final design ready by September of next year. Construction will begin in 2022. So it looks like everything kind of got pushed out year, and that there's a new contractor on board, and the new project leader is on board, but I did talk to her this week, and she was kind of sort of aware of what we wanted to do as far as getting radar signs and dry hydrants up there, something that we discussed with her and Hildy, who's the previous kind of project leader. She was not aware that anything like that had requested to make in the town. So I actually got a hold of Sylvia Donald yesterday as well and spoke to him. He had talked to Dylan about it. He was not aware that there was a new project leader. He's got his medical team to put this thing to the completion. So he assured me that he would. Then he's putting a letter together of request from the town and sends that to the new project leader and private copies up so that we know that the letter's actually put together and submitted. So I think we basically need to keep following up on this and make sure that there is things put in place. And at some point, probably fairly in the future, we may want to get together again with the current team and especially the current project leader and discuss what we found in the surveys and so forth and make sure everybody is still kind of on the same line as far as what they are going to do there. I discussed that briefly with her and it sounded like they are. I mean, they're basically going to be a little more than replace what's there with the modern equipment, not make it any bigger or taller or anything like that. But probably wouldn't be a bad idea to again get together with the team and discuss it.
Well, she has your contact information, correct, Keith?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. At least hopefully she will contact you a couple times, at least kind of bring you up to speed with what they're thinking or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have to be kind of proactive on that, too, judging from what's happened in the past, but... Yeah, we need to kind of stay involved. Otherwise, we don't want to do that. I do want to say something that I know why we're doing what we're doing as far as the bridge. But I do want to bring this up again because of recent changes and things that are going on around the lake. The bridge is obviously set at a certain height and was the desired height. And I know that we've had issues launching boats. And I guess not to upset the whole scene, but access to the lake is more and more restrictive as time goes on. The girls are not allowing people to launch at their place anymore. So it just makes it a little bit more restrictive getting in and out of the lake. further thoughts on that, trying to change anything, especially now that we're kind of starting over with the bridge.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Chris. I mean, I know Fred and Leland have both expressed the desire for the bridge to be slightly higher, be able to launch boats. Fred has specifically asked now that the boroughs are unable to let people launch boats. I did not hear this from Paul, but from what I heard is that their place is now in a trust and they have to get approval from their kids in order to allow people to launch. So it's essentially a no. So I know Fred is kind of stuck and he's looking to potentially even sell his boat now because he can't launch it anywhere. I don't know even if, I think if I remember last time we talked about the same or up to 6 inches higher was what the survey said.
Yeah.
I don't remember if that's what we agreed on. I think that's what it was. Even if you go 6 inches higher, you're not going to get a pontoon boat through there. But I mean, as long as it's not like some massive bridge where we have like major power boats going through, I'm in agreement that we should ease some of the restrictions a little bit.
Well, the only thing, and I'm sure you'll all remember, the meeting that we had in Albany, one of the reasons that they said they were leaving it close to the 6 inch, to where it is to 6 inches, is because of the way the road lays out. If they go too high, then you're going to have a hill, and people like Forrest Lyle, and I think some your area, Dave, would have a difficult time getting in and out of their driveways. That was the one of the determining factors to the height. So I don't know, again, if, like you say, let's pretend that they do go, let's say 10 feet, then that's not going to happen. But as we raise the bridge, it seems like to keep that road level, you expand the roadway. So it's a thought. I just know that was their qualifying factor on keeping it close to where it is.
I mean, I also think that the DOT was super gracious with regards to hearing what we had to say, listening to what we wanted. I still think we relatively stick with the plan. You're not going to go in there and say raise 2 feet. You're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
But, 6 inches relief, I think, is reasonable. I know Ed Leahy, who lives next to me, is concerned about that. He's talked to me multiple times already this summer. They bought a boat that barely fits under. He's concerned about getting it in and out. I don't have a problem with plus 6 inches. I don't think it'll happen anyway. I don't want, six extra feet or five extra feet, whatever. But I think half a foot is not really that big of a deal.
Why they said current to six, because you're right, the more you raise the bridge, the approach is, which then increases your cost because, and especially coming from the west to east, coming in that area, you don't have a whole lot of area there to do all that you need to do to raise it.
The bridge is at almost the highest point of the road base, too. If you go on one side and look at it, Forrest is his name, he wanted to move the bridge away from,
it's not going to. Steep driveway.
Yeah, they're not going to raise the base of the road 6 feet to move it so the lake flows better.
I think that's an impossibility.
As I recall, there was discussion about a possibility of no more than a 6 inch height increase. But again, as you guys just mentioned now, while Forrest is already at the limit of what you can really maneuver in and out of there without freezing bottom, so it is not the big matter bringing it up at all. I think it's
I guess, if we just, with trying to get the dry hydrant in and trying to do a lot of this stuff, if they said anything about the height, raising it, we'd have to pull our board, but we wouldn't be objecting to anything within, say, 6 or 10 inches. I think construction-wise, and I'm not a surveyor, but just by looking at it, they're not going to raise it a whole lot
because of the roadway.
I think if they raise I think if they raise the bridge a foot, you're still not going to get a big pontoon.
No, you're not going to get a big pontoon boat through. I would almost, maybe, as cruel as it may sound, the people with the big pontoon boats may want to start looking at securing a launch site or getting rid of their boat. I I'm not trying to be mean about it, but if they leave that bridge, raise it 6 more inches, your pontoon boat may be stuck on this lake for a long time. And I guess the bottom line is get out while the getting's good. I don't know. As Chris has said, the lake is changing a lot. We have a lot of new people moving in, and we have a lot of old people that are going, they won't be with us that much longer. And if their family, like the Burroughs, decide that they go into a trust, or they decide, hey, I don't want anybody on my property. You got it, you know, you bought the place and it didn't have a boat launch. Sucks to be you. I don't know.
I heard that secondhand, by the way. I didn't hear that directly from Paul Lloyd.
No.
So I've heard it also similar.
Yeah.
I got approached this year. Somebody could use my boat launch by me. And a little bit of couple phone calls later, I was like, the size of their boat won't even go down my driveway, let alone down to the launch.
Yeah, it's a tough.
So,
yeah.
No, I'm not, you know.
Then you're dealing with recovery boat and winches.
I'll get it out. I don't get anything out of the lake. Yeah. I don't have equipment over, but no, it won't go down the driveway. The driveway's not set up to take something 20 feet long, 8 feet wide down.
So, and like I said, I don't have the answer. If I did, I'd be a rich man.
So I remember when we were in Albany, part of the issue with the height that they talked about was the distance of the approach on either side.
Sight lines for and the like, yes.
So, I mean, I'm not opposed personally for another 6 to 12 inches or whatever the number is, but I don't think we're going to get much out of it.
I don't.
If that's probably you get 6, then even that might be an issue with getting the approach taken care of and then maintaining access, you know, in and out through
the board. The only thing that, by using modern materials, the thickness of the bridge deck could be shrunk a little bit, and you may pick up a few inches there.
Yeah, but they were talking about replacing kind with a cast concrete.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to be much different.
Well, pre-stressed concrete is much stronger for height, but the bigger thing is, what are we keeping the lake at? If we have the lake at +7 in the early spring, people are not going to be able to get under there. So there's 7 inches right there. You know, if we're going to say that, all right, up until Memorial Day, we're going to keep the boards out so that the lake is a little bit lower, and then Memorial Day, after Columbus Day, you know, the lake goes down. But again, you're playing crapshoots with the weather. We get a particularly wet fall, the lake could be at +24 until it freezes. Mm-hmm. So, and if we say that we're going to go, okay, 6 inches is good, sure as I stand here, the person standing behind Dave right now is going to go, why didn't you go 7?
Yeah.
And they're going to try and take you to court because you could have gone 7, you know, without any problem. Well,
it's not us.
It's not us to make the decision.
We have a small lake, and when I bought my place, my wife researched a boat to fit under the bridge. This is what we have. So, you know, if we get 6 inches, fine, but We want to kind of limit,
and that,
also the size of the boats and the amount of people that do come on the lake, and because it's going to be a problem.
And that comes back to what we found last spring when we were talking about the boat launch. The boat launch may not be there, you know, more than a year or two from now anyway. So,
yeah.
At which point, and the comment was made to me, well, your causeway bridge limits the size of the boats that can access the lake in general. And that's part of the saving grace, if you will, for what the state's looking at with a boat launch.
And my boat, I can, if the lake is at normal level, I can get my boat under by rocking it underneath the I-beam.
Yeah.
So if I get that much more, I can go straight through with no problem.
So. Yeah. My bow rider on Lake George, the first year we were up here, I tried to bring underneath, and so I thought I was going to break the windshield. Now, about halfway through, I decided not to do it.
I've had to take my windshields off to get it under the bridge.
Yeah, Pat next door to me, she had her boat, and she took the windshield off
right
to get in and out.
I've used 5-gallon mud pails full of water, 20 of them in the boat.
I did that, plus rocks.
Yep.
I had a 32-gallon trash can.
Yeah, I get the grandkids. Get the grandkids in the bow. So the boat's going down. Yeah.
It is what it is. So.
Yes, it is.
People, right. People have put plywood and their kids in the front pushing down on the beams so they can.
I guess you know, with Keith being the first and the main point of contact with those guys at DOT, I think, you know, definitely don't want anything short than what we have. Everybody said that.
Cookies.
And I think, you know, somewhere we agreed to 6 inches, but I'm not opposed if it's to Chris's point, a foot. I don't want it 6 feet, which you can't anyway. But
so we're going to continue having Keith be the point of contact, and we're going to make sure that the height doesn't change drastically. Mm-hmm. We're also going to lobby it for a dry hydrant down there. And Keith, you still willing to be the point of contact on that as well as with the Chilson Volunteer Fire Department?
Well, I'll take care of that. And so from the discussion here, it sounds like if we can get a 6-inch height raise, that will be good. No more than that. If we get any more than that anyway. But one thing that Rolf did mention there is for the new design, not having to have such a thick deck, they're moving to the room that way. But that's something I'll try and contact the contractor.
From an ecological point of view, we'd like it wider so that we get more water flow, so we don't have two separate basins of a lake. Return it to more like a natural, what it was. And the other thing we're looking at that has been largely discussed is radar speed signs as part of the construction project that can be relocated to either end of the community.
Yeah, real quick on the dry hydrant and the speed sign, did we bring that up when we were at the DOT? I don't recall.
No. The dry hydrant didn't really start to be talked about until they started talking about closing down Gooseneck. Yeah.
Right.
And in communications with the fire department, we got talking about it. Says we got one hydrant, and that hydrant they're afraid to touch, but it lowers our fire insurance. And that's when they got talking about if we lose that hydrant, access to the lake is difficult for the fire department. Where are they going to get water? And that's when we said, hey, this might be the time, because they're doing the bridge, to incorporate a pull-off for a dry hydrant. Now, and with that pull, what I'm thinking is a pull-off, because that tanker that pumps the water out has got to be out of the road so the other tanker can come in and fill up. That pull-off may be a place that we could put the radar sign. I don't know. Again, it depends. It all really depends on the size of the pull-off. And with the radar sign there, will the tankers, if they need to, be able to get in there?
Radar signs are small. They mount right on a telephone pole.
Oh, you mean? I was thinking of the one that lights up.
No, well, yeah, they're small. They bolt right onto a pole. They're only 2 feet high and 8, 6, 10 inches wide or 12 inches wide.
Well,
come through.
That would be a factor, because these tankers are huge today. Mm-hmm. And so it would probably, if they do it the way I'm thinking they're going to do it, is it would be a pull-off, and it would be plenty wide enough. The only other thing, as I'm thinking about it, they would probably want to put up some kind of a chain or something, because if that pull-off is there, you're going to have people pulling in there to park their cars and fish. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, those are all just the things that just kind of come up. And, you know, you can put up the no parking signs all you want.
Early concern, when I talked to Joe Giordano about dry hydrant, he said, well, you'd have to block the road. If you need water to that extent, you've got something going on 74 that's probably going to block traffic anyway. Because
the road is blocked off the beginning.
You probably got,
You'll boost the pull of fire truck anywhere off the road between you and Hill.
No.
So not this year, the year before, is when I went and stocked the fish with those guys. It was pretty sketchy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, right by that causeway, it was pretty sketchy with cars flying through there.
Yeah. Even to walk to park and walk and check the level. I said, geez, I'm hugging the guardrail.
I did on the boat.
I think a pull-off would be really kind of pushing it, is where and how. The only way that you can do that, I don't think think you need it because it's going to be just an invitation to trouble. So whatever they build as the plant, the secondary road, you know, the bypass, they say that comes back there, it would be one thing, but yeah, that would probably be out of the way there. The bridge did go, and they probably wouldn't want to leave that there. But again, you know, there's only a chance on fire, there's a force fire up there, and they closed 74 for less than that. And they don't seem to have any problems with closing 74. I mean, usually, one time over the summer, I'll end up having to take the back way in, so.
Yeah, I know, we've been stopped down by Lutzenville when the people were hit and killed by on the motorcycle, and we had to come in the back way. So, it's a tough situation.
Refresh my memory, Keith. Did you say in your email that Joe has not contacted the DOT, requested the dry hydrant?
He had contacted Bill and Rosie, who was the previous project manager, and discussed and requested this, but it's the formal letter request that he had not finished yet. And that's what still needs to be placed. And we're talking with him yesterday. He said he would finish that up and take care of it. I sent him, you know, basically an outline for the letter that I had written up. And he was going to add to that. So it sounded like he pretty much got it ready, but he hadn't followed through with it. And of course, we have to go to the new project leader now anyway.
We're going to make sure we get a paper copy or.
I requested that.
Well, yep.
We've got to make sure and follow up with it. It actually did go through and what it is and so forth.
My only concern is the cost. I mean, they already have a very, very tight budget for that project. I think, what was it, $2.1 million? For a temporary bridge and a new bridge, I mean, that's
we're not talking millions for a dry hydrant, though. You're talking a piece of pipe with a fitting on top and a filter at the bottom. Well, you got the excavator there. Drop the pipe in there. Don't, you know, let's not skimp on it and have all of our fire insurances go out.
It was a part of the original project, and when we showed up there, they were gracious and listened to everything we said, and we didn't say that. And after the fact, we're now adding that,
I brought it up when I was on the phone with them.
Radar signs, I believe, were definitely mentioned at that meeting, maybe.
I'm not opposed to either of those things. I'm just saying about concerns about the project paying for it.
Yeah. Has there been any feedback from anybody on the radar sign that was down towards favorable or not?
I haven't heard anything.
So it's being effective, you
mean, or? Well, effective and or effective. What the community thinks of it. I know I've heard that, it's there, but nope, the truckers continue to speed through.
It slows down. I think it slows down the personal use, the cars and the pickup trucks and stuff like that. The truckers know it's the signs there again. Okay, they keep right on going through. But the guy coming through from Vermont or going bass fishing on Champlain, they see that, they slow down. So I think that we're getting them to work.
We had some troopers too. So we've been coming up on Thursdays or Fridays pretty much every weekend since, I don't know, April, mid-April. And there's been a couple troopers sitting around too.
Yeah. And the Thai police were up on the top of the hill too.
Yeah. Anybody need more water or anything? Do you want one?
Cookies are excellent.
I think it's between the what the 2, 4, 6 of us here. I'm of the opinion that we're going to be losing all the fire hydrants because there will not be a water system up here. So that if we can get a fire hydrant, we should probably emphasize that's going to be our only source of water if there's anything that happens up in this area.
Isn't there one over here by the bridge, by the...
That's off. Is that off of there?
The fire hydrant?
Isn't there a dry hydrant?
There's one in front of Andy Belkovich's place, and the only other one is in the chlorination station proper.
No, dry hydrant.
No.
Is there a dry hydrant?
No.
That's off the gooseneck line, right?
What's that?
That's off the gooseneck line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there is no water source once they leave the town.
Right.
It would behoove the town to ask for it, because if they're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, they need more than just the one down there by the bridge.
Yeah. Joe is kind of a tough guy to get in touch with. He doesn't return calls very often as town supervisor.
Yeah, I still I got 10 calls in for him.
I do have his personal cell number, and he does answer that. I talked with him very quickly about issues of the beach and ticks and Lyme disease and the like, because I had opportunity to see him last fall at a presentation about that. But also, while I had his attention, I inquired about the causeway, and he is supportive, whether he will actually do what he says he will do, which is write a letter helping us out. Anybody's guess. Whatever we want to do with the causeway will be our actions and our ownership of that process. And as Zach has stated several times, the DOT is very cordial. Most people that you talk to in public government are cordial. If you get their attention for a long enough period of time and convince them of rational facts, usually they will see it your way, and to change the height of the causeway is probably not out of the question. To get a radar speed sign at both ends and have it relocated for the community, probably not out of the question. Yes, it comes down to pay. The town has offered to maybe consider throwing some money at it. Again, if you get the town's attention and you convince them, they may throw some money at it. International Paper has a community grant, which we can utilize and exercise to garner some money for radar speed signs. Also, the dry hydrant could be rolled into that. So as we write our IP grant, the radar speed sign that is deployed up here as part of the Thai police was bought and paid for through Walmart and IP grants, and we've been able to garner the use of it. But again, we have to be the ones that own the process. So as we sit here and discuss what we want with the causeway, we need a point person. Keith seems to want to do that, and we need to have a kind of a list of things. We want, you know, the following 5 items addressed. And these are the reasoning. We need to give him the information to be able to help support him. When he writes a letter to the Thai police and say, hey, I want a radar speed sign out there, we have to go, when we see the folks setting that or the troopers out there, thank you. Goes a long ways to making that happen and them coming back and feeling wanted. So I just bring that up, and we'll end discussion with the causeway if we can.
Yeah. Well, at least we know, we know what's going on, and we can contact the new person and just explain, you know, what's going on, and since they're designing it, and Zach's 100% right. It's like all of us. It comes down to money. I've got so much money here, and that's as far as you go.
Does our $38,000 milfoil stuff, does that have to be used for...
Used any way we want. It is member money. It is reimbursement of state funds towards the money you put in and money you put in when we did the milfoil project. It does not have to be spent on milfoil.
Can we look at the liability of buying one of those trailable speed signs? We said there were a few grand.
Trailable ones are a little more expensive. The ones that mount on the poles are... But then you need...
The little suitcase ones, that's what I inquired about the years back.
What if we grant our money for the hydrant?
I know, I think we asked the membership if anybody wanted to put money towards that. I believe we did that last year and the year before. Nobody really wanted to do that. But, I mean, if we have money sitting and we have $17,000 in the bank, and we don't really have anything else going on specific tomorrow to do, between Walmart, IP, the county keeps the truck out of the lake and keeps the road open. I mean, it's not just our problem, but I would feel that that's a pretty easy way to maybe help something. That
absolutely.
Do something. We're really not doing much else right now with money, and I don't specifically feel that it's our specific duty, but to keep the truck out of the lake, to keep an accident, or, obviously a potential death from happening, and
I think there's a lot.
I'd agree with you, Chris, there, that the suitcase ones are kind of nice. A trailer mounted one, I think, is the maintenance and liability of it is just gets beyond our scope of interest.
Yeah.
If somebody ever ran into it.
Somebody's got to put it in, move it, and store it, maintain
then
it.
You also got to think about the cost of it, though, right? So it's something, it has to have some electrical power.
Some of them are solar powered. Obviously, the cost goes up. It's not like they need boatloads of electricity, but if you're in a treed area, solar doesn't present itself really well.
Yeah.
On that same subject, Keith, this spring foiled a pair of traffic surveys that were done along Route 74. One was done as a result of Toby Saccone's fatality here. Mm-hmm. That was done by the town, requested through a motion that Andy Belkovich made of the town to do the survey, because he was real good close in that. And the other one was actually made as a result of the DOT and the Causeway reconstruction project. The DOT, as part of the reconstruction, did a survey. One of those surveys, Keith, was done when?
One was done the day after Christmas, and one was done on, I think it was 29th or 30th, right at the end of March.
No, there were just two of them that were done there. Yeah.
Both slower traffic times.
Well, very little, limited traffic. The one from, if I can, Keith, the one from December 26th was done for a one-hour period right at the noon. And the one for the causeway, they did 3 1-hour blocks from noon to 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
The bottom line was that 80% of the traffic was going over the posted speed. And significantly over the posted speed. Trucks and cars were being recorded at 55, 60 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. We come back to what we have been told, what I've been told as a result of asking the town and the DOT after every accident that I've had an opportunity to talk to them. It's not a speed posting issue, it's an enforcement issue. So come back to, our radar speed signs, asking our residents, do they feel that it's, is it worth putting the radar speed signs up? Yes, if it slows down some of the transients that don't know that it's always there. Is it worth our effort to invest in it? Probably. To what extent? Again, depends on what it costs. But it comes down to getting the police department up here or somebody to enforce it.
It's state police own this road.
And Ty,
enforcement.
Right. Ty will come up and enforce it, but it's, well out of there. It's not the normal jurisdiction thing. And as Joe told me today, or when I talked to him, well, it's a long way from town, and it's really,
they don't like coming up here.
There's no place. Well, the other part of it is there's no place for them to pull anybody over.
It's not safe.
Not safe for them to stop a vehicle along 74. So you either catch them down at the causeway and you chase them all the way up to Chilson Hill, where there's a place where you can finally pull them over. And then with the COVID nowadays, nobody wants to involve anybody with any,
Right.
So the only thing we can do is keep requesting. Thank you, Keith, for doing such.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one we talked about is, I've got the issue is the boat launch and the beach. I have a letter into Bob, and that's why I asked you if you had any contact information for Stegman.
I emailed it to you?
Huh?
I emailed it to you last week?
I got the one that said something about we may have missed the boat on this.
Yep.
And you circled some guy's name, and I don't know who he is or what.
That's who's... Bob Stegman evidently is no longer sitting in director's seat.
Oh, no.
It says acting director on Region 5 DEC's website.
That's so...
I didn't even read it. I didn't even read it.
Because I think the overall head of the... Are you talking DEC? No? Oh, okay. The ADK.
DEC Region 5.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. The ADK was up for election last year, the head of that group. There was a woman that was acting.
Right.
There's now, now
a
person.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. The governor wasn't... Yeah, okay. Well, anyways, that would explain why he's never answered my letter. Because my next one, that's... And what I wanted to do is check if you had information. Did I mail it to the... Because I mailed it right to Raybrook, and, you know, how things get lost. And I just want to make sure I had the right address. So I'll have to research that some more. But it was... basically, the letter was, thank you for the survey. When are you going to do it? Who's going to do it? What are you looking for? Et cetera, et cetera. And we are more than willing to participate and assist in this survey. And like I said, that would, it makes probably, I don't know where he is, maybe he just never, it's probably sitting in Raybrook someplace. Because it does say Director of Region 5. It's got his name on it, so.
Probably went right to garbage.
It could very well be, so I'll have to.
His secretary does answer the phone.
I stopped Region,
Google it, and you find, I sent you the page from Google.
I take pictures.
Yeah, because the only thing I saw, remember
right
seeing.
It was a whole image with all the, in his.
All I saw was the one where you circled Region 5, and it just said, it was a very short sentence, and I'm trying to figure out. All I said was, we may have missed the opportunity or something, and I'm looking, trying. All I know is I got this guy's name circled. Of course, again, my little iPad computer only does just so much. My big computer's dead. Eventually, I got to get another one, and there's a lot of things that I found that my big computer shows up where my little one doesn't. So
I try to go down at least once.
And I just finally was able to print off that. All right, so that's...
If you send letters to people, please CC us on them so that we...
Okay.
Keep posted as far as what's going on.
The pictures I send you, right?
The
as
next
of last year. I haven't got any this year.
I'll send you. Fun.
Not this year.
The,
I'll send them all back out to you then.
We need to look at someone to take over the, or lead the Adopt a Highway thing since Tanya has retired.
Tanya's retired, but she's still very active.
Oh, well, I can't say I blame her. But the only other thing I think we might do, and when we put out the next information, is to tell everybody, you know, until we get some kind of a organization, police your own area. And at
we
least
have to be registered with the state and have to wear reflective
masks
and stuff, all that.
Yes.
So,
I mean, you're supposed to be. If you're picking up around your own area, it's probably...
If you're in front of your own property, no. But if you're doing it as a adopt a highway program, the state wants to know about it, like, you know, so they can publicize it, but also they want to make sure that you have appropriate safety gear so that you don't get... If you get killed on with your safety gear on, they can say, well, at least we tried.
I know, again, last I talked, and I didn't get in depth with Tanya on it, she just called DOT and Scroon Lake. Went down, you know, done it every year, picked up the bags, and, you know, the other thing is, I would say we should at least, if we use their orange badge, to let them know they're there so they don't, but if we put any other color bag along the side of the road, I doubt very much it would get picked up. So I'll have to talk to her again and get some more information on
it. If we get some specifics on it, we need to have person registered, we need to get the bags.
Chris, you have the information for Adopt the Highway yet?
Can you send it to me, Steve?
I again.
Please. Send it. Send.
I might try to scan it in, and then I'll send it that way, or I'll see. I haven't opened it in a while, but it should be like the application, the sign-up sheet, or whatever it is. But I'll dig it out, and
Well, it's just like what that adopt a highway thing. This, the last time, the last letter you got from, I believe it was Corey McGee about the VSA.